Dallas has been awesome. Let's it go.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner crossed the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it
just inside of half court.
Lane's on the other wing.
Bang! Oh! Sent it in, Jerome!
College basketball! This is March Madness!
All right, another week, another step closer to the NCAA tournament. I can't wait. It is just such a fun time. Fun time. We're just a bunch of basketball nerds just relishing in this time. I'm Timmy Hall. He's a college basketball sicko. Rhyme time, Jacob Reimer. Eva Bald Colin. He's doing all sorts of work right now. Even on a podcast that we record at our own convenience, it's hard to get him.
He's a busy man.
He's in a studio on the phone. We're like, well, join us for the second segment.
People
I gotta go.
Need him, I guess.
I gotta go. The ball's bouncing. Time to work. Time to go. Where do we start? You just wanna get it out. You just wanna get it out of the way.
Yeah, man.
Just want to do it. Just get it out of the way.
It is crazy to see how both our teams have trajected from the beginning of November. Because Kansas, man. Actually, after how North Carolina played last night, and they're a better watch than Kansas. They stink.
They suck. They suck right now.
It's not fun. It was not a fun watch on Tuesday night against BYU.
The whole state of Utah. The whole state of Utah.
Hey, they own Kansas basketball.
Yeah. Well, you know who owns North Carolina basketball, though, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah. It's still there. The birthplace doesn't change.
Yep.
No, despite what happens, North Carolina basketball will have always been born in Kansas.
Yes, that is.
That doesn't change.
But for the
And who's your daddy?
For the current state of college basketball, the state of Utah owns Kansas.
Sure. But you didn't answer the question. Who's your daddy when it comes to another blue blood?
Hey, I know. Carolina,
you know who your daddy is.
Carolina can't beat Kansas.
Anytime they have met since Roy left, you know the... You know the result. It's a big giant L right on your forehead.
They got to come to Chapel Hill next year.
I don't want to do that. Actually, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be that guy, but I would wear my stuff.
Yeah.
I would.
I would
think that your guys would be the shitty ones.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't egg them on, but I would just like to see Philadelphia Eagles crowd, you know, they're one I don't know if I would even mess with wearing Commanders gear. If I was going to a game, I would not ever go to a Commanders game in Philadelphia. But if, say, I had to, I would just wear all black. That's all I would do.
I've always said if I went to a game at Cameron where North Carolina isn't playing against Duke, I'd be wearing North Carolina just to show my stuff.
What do you think would happen to you?
Not good things.
No,
I know
not
that.
Good things. Not good things. Can only hope that it wouldn't turn into something...
I just
off
hope
the physical.
Can we get this for next year when Kansas does come to Chapel Hill? Did you see last night when they played, or on Wednesday night when they played NC State, where it was snowing, so they were trying to push people that had to drive to not come, but if you could walk, come to the game, and it was basically first come, first serve. And the lower bowl was filled with students.
Unbelievable. And the upper bowl was almost...
It got about halfway up.
Yeah, but it still... It was. You knew something had to be up, right? But again... I also, before knowing about the snowstorm and seeing that this season that is currently underway, I was taking that into account and wondering if people were just possibly starting to check out.
Yeah.
It's still North Carolina basketball, and usually that doesn't happen, but the frustration boiling over for possibly missing two tournaments in 3 years has to be a palpable thing and a strong thing right now.
100%. But last...
Kansas ain't... Say what you want to say about the Jayhawks. They could lose out. They're still in. They could lose out. They're still a lock.
Yeah.
Because they beat... I mean, the North Carolina win, whatever. But they beat Duke. They beat Michigan State. They beat Iowa State.
North Carolina finishes the year strong.
They could still get in.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they can't, but they still also have a chance to miss out. I mean, you beat NC State.
Yeah.
NC State's terrible.
You should have. They're not even going to make the ACC tournament.
Yeah, and that's you got to beat them. But I do have some fond memories of that rivalry specifically from living and working back there. And just the state's an interesting program, you know? They are. They've got a very passionate fan base. The way their arena setup is now, with building that thing to share with the Carolina Hurricanes, but they still have a really loud, noisy, passionate fan base, but they obviously do not have the pedigree of Duke or North Carolina, and they won two national championships.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, which is puts you up there.
Because like, I mean,
puts you in rare air. It
right
really
now,
does.
Like, we think Baylor's in that category, but they've only got one.
Mm-hmm.
They've just have the one in the bubble.
Well, and NC State's still in Carolina. Like, that matters. It's on Tobacco Road.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you're wearing red and you're not one of those shades of blue, you still matter. Like, you still have basketball in your blood, and it's really, really important.
They try to make their voice heard. It's without a doubt. It's all over social media, everything. I'm surprised. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised, but with the weather there was, I guess I could have seen more state fans there if they were already in town.
Uh-huh, right.
But I don't know. It
gets messed up, though, from having experienced that whenever you – and that was – I haven't been there since 2011. Like, that was the last year I lived there. So I can remember if there was ever a winter weather scare, our radio station would actually put us up at the Holiday Inn Express that was right across the street from work. Like, if it hadn't been snowing yet and there was a threat of it, they were like, you guys, if the morning shift, get to the Holiday Inn so you can get to work.
So you're already
so you can start
ready.
The shift because we know – how the roads are going to be and how the city's just was never equipped to handle even like a 2 or 3 inch snow.
Yeah.
So it can get chaotic there.
It didn't look great there last night, but shout out to the fans that did make it because it was honestly one of the louder crowds that's been there all season.
But I want to talk about this for a second because you can continue to get it off your chest. But the fact that you see, this is what's great about this time of year is just because you are projected to be something, just because you had really big wins at the start of the year, it's not like those wins don't matter, but those wins don't matter as to what kind of team you're going to be right now in late February. You have to continue to earn that every single game, every single week. And it's the old rule of thumb. You know, the resume is the resume, and every game on the season counts for that. But you want and need to be playing your best basketball as a team and maximizing not having the huge injuries, but just maximizing your chemistry and how you're playing. And obviously, Kansas is doing just about as bad as humanly possible at that. And of all the stuff, like, we'll do the segment this week as we did last week because it was fun and just listening to some sounds from the week in college basketball. And we got some really good stuff this week, starting with a coach who is just looks like he can never die with Rick Pitino. And one of the pieces of audio that he had from this last week. But Bill Self, he's been at a complete loss. He said something about how he just wants the team to get away from each other. The quote was, I'm talked out. We need to get away from each other. I'll tell you that point blank. I thought this would be a great opportunity to do some team bonding, but it hasn't been. When you look at these last 2 years for them, some people are wondering, some people are talking so much to where I actually heard Gary Parrish, who's one of the top analysts in this game and a podcaster and very networked and dialed in. He was talking about Self and something he heard from a text. I'll play this for you.
Into the Big 8 era when that was the case.
We've said it's Bill Self, it's Kansas, they'll be fine. Maybe not what we thought, but like they're fine. It's still Bill Self, it's still KU. And I got a text message from somebody I respect who works in the sport. And it more or less said, hey, I hear you and you're probably right. But don't ever forget, this is how it happens. This is how it happens. Coaches are great, and then, you know, they age, and then they're not the same anymore. And, you know, John Calipari
was great
at Kentucky. Unless you're Rick Pitino, of course, that goes.
Yeah, so right on par there with Rick Pitino having his resurgence at St. John's in a different program and a new look. But where are you on that? I can't obviously get there. He's 62 years old.
Yeah.
But I can't get to that point right there.
And me neither.
It could be the start of it, but we don't know. Too early to say for me.
I mean, he's recently won a national championship. He's one of the last two because, I mean, UConn's gone back-to-back. And he's still a great basketball mind. Like, I feel like if I'm a coach on the other sidelines and I see Bill Self standing on the other side, I'm still shaking in my boots because I know what he is capable of. So I don't know. I'm not there yet, but I guess like kind of saw it with Tony Bennett, I guess. Not like just
Tony Bennett was never on his level.
No, he wasn't.
Really,
but like
really
he won
good
that
coach
national championship
and won an Addy,
and then
yeah
faded deep. Now Kansas,
quickly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now Kansas, they're preseason number one the past 2 years.
How did it end for Roy? For our boy Roy,
it was in that bubble tournament. They got smoked by Wisconsin, and I think he was just.
Or like the last 2-3 years, because he's kind of pointing to a 2-3 year pocket. So yeah, it was out in the second round, Sweet 16 run, mm-hmm, won the ACC, tied, had a share, then under 500 in the pandemic year.
Yeah.
So we got to count that as no.
The 19-20 year was
has to count as a no tournament, because
yeah
you're 14.
Oh,
and
yeah,
19.
They weren't going to make the tournament.
Some can like
they were like one of the last games played
right
before COVID shut down
mm-hmm
everything.
Yep. And then one and done in 2021. An 18-11, a double digit loss team, not vintage.
Yeah.
So
his last really, really good team was that 2019 team with Coby White and Luke May, Kenny Williams. I thought they were, if Cam Johnson's not sick, Nasir Little's not sick in the Sweet 16, they can maybe have gone further on, but that Auburn team was just really hot.
He's also 12 years older than Bill Self. It just doesn't, I don't feel that. And a lot of people are using this as an opportunity to really get on Kansas. And you know what? I probably would too, because of where they were with the Adidas shoe scandal and mm-hmm some of the violations. And they had to take it on the chin. They had to vacate a Final Four in one of those championships. But I still think when you take all that away, because Kansas would still have always had built-in advantages, like Ohio State football,
yeah,
when you're going to go and recruit. If there's a five-star guy that they want, there's maybe 2 to 5 schools max. If Kansas went all in on somebody, maybe a few that could straight up win that recruiting battle with them.
Right.
Because of who they are and their pedigree and the jerseys they wear, what basketball means
exactly
there. You still, at some point, assembled your team, whether you had some wrongdoing in getting that team or not. You still have the team, and then you have to coach the team.
Yeah.
And that has to have chemistry, and they have to be bought in on the system. And in that, they went out and won 14 straight championships. He coached them to 14 straight
ridiculous
championships. It might be one of the most impressive feats in the history
yeah
of sports.
And it doesn't
really
get talked about enough.
Because that conference, in many of those years, could be argued as the best conference in basketball. It's not some mid-major. It's not some ACC down in the dumps. And I know that's just happened recently. For most of the years, the ACC was always a very, very strong conference and one of the best. But that was before the Big 12 got plucked
mm-hmm
for most of that.
Yeah. Well, there was another crazy stat with Kansas that I came across recently. They are, so Kansas was number 15 on Saturday.
In 15 the, in, wa-
in
the,
what? In the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee.
Oh, gotcha.
Rankings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Top 16.
Yeah.
That was before losing Saturday to Utah and now getting blown out by BYU.
34 points. Historic loss
yeah
for them.
The last time Kansas was worse than a 4 seed in the NCAA Tournament was 2000. And they are more than likely
my
going
God
to be less
oh
than a 4
oh
seed.
Oh, for sure.
So
like
they
look like they could be a 7, 8, 9 at
yeah
this at this.
They
point
have made every single tournament the last 2 decades and 5 years now that we're into this one, and they have been nothing short of a 4 seed.
Some of those NCAA tournament projections that are getting pretty interesting right now. We're going to do some of that. You guys are locked in to Mad About Hoops.
All college basketball, all the time. You're listening to Mad About Hoops, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Mad About Hoops, we love college basketball. If you're checking us out, we think that you love it too. Timmy Hall, Rhyme Time, Jacob Reimer. We'll get Evil Bald Colin here eventually. But we mentioned some bracketology, some of the bubble watch reports. Things are getting interesting. This is the time where I think even the fringe fans start paying attention because they want to get ready.
Yeah.
Because it's a month now. It's under a month. It's
we
under
are
a month.
On the day of the recording that we are recording this right now, there will be NCAA tournament games. A month away from that.
A month, yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, February mm-hmm 20th, we're
March
recording
20th
this pod
is when things get tipped off after the first mm-hmm four.
Do I have to say it? Do I have to wish myself a happy birthday?
Oh my
gosh. I didn't want to do it.
That's
we got
me
into the second segment.
That's on me. I'm sorry.
I'm a basketball guy. We got a Buckeye game on my birthday. So, you know, as we're recording this,
hopefully they can get a win for you.
Hopefully it's a win. And if you're listening on the replay on the Fan Saturday morning, the final segment when our recording doesn't match up with the midweek game, you'll hear some really immediate thoughts from my postgame show. I'll just say, I'll be pure devastation mode if they lose to Northwestern.
Yeah.
Total devastation. They cannot let it happen. But I think there's some interesting things when you look at, take Joe Lunardi. He's the Pope when it comes to bracketology, yeah. Right? We got to give
that's,
it to
when
him.
I think bracketology, I think Lunardi.
Nobody
yeah.
was doing it before him, mm-hmm. right? I mean, credit to everyone that does it. We got our guy that comes on our pod every year in March from Big Underdog Blog. He's great. Mike DeCourcy and some of the bigger guys in the sport, they do it too. But Lenard Dog, he's been doing it.
You know
it,
it's that time of the year when you're watching a game on ESPN that's a bubble team.
And he pops in on the screen. Right. People don't yell at him like
North
they would
Carolina
yell at Dickie
so
V,
used to
right?
that for the last 3 years.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no. What's Lenardi going to say about North Carolina
bubble
and their
boys
bubble?
Or last year being a one seed?
So the SEC is projected to take 13 teams, which is just wild, but I think quite
insane.
Deserving.
Yeah.
When you just think about how their teams are, you know, you just take a look at what do you think their teams can do mm-hmm. and how good are they?
You look at Missouri against Alabama. They just put up 110 on them, beat them 110-98.
I heard you and our man Cole on one of our weekend shows.
Yeah.
And it might have been on Sunday after the Buckeyes lost to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And you were having that conversation about, or his take was more, I'd rather see like a mid-major school that's in the top two or three of their conference over like a middle-of-the-road big conference team. And I got to say, I think I sided with you.
Yeah.
I totally get where he's coming from in loving the little guy and having their chance. And mid-majors are a lot more quality than they used to be, too, mm-hmm. in this new age. But when you are going to take the SEC as an example, I've watched a lot of those teams, and they're all really, really talented teams that I think just deserve on merit and some of the wins that they have.
Yeah, I mean, they pick up, like, there's a quad one opportunity every single night. But also, like, if you look around the bubble, like, North Carolina, aside from their game against NC State, they haven't been fun to watch at all.
They're a first four out.
Yeah.
UNC, SMU, Georgia, VCU, first four out in ESPN bracketology.
SMU has not been fun to watch either. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. I kind of would like to see like a two from the Big West pop in there. UC San Diego, UC Irvine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just like them. They play a fun brand.
UC San Diego has not even been in high Division One for a few years? But they've got the same coach who's been with them for a long time. And look what they're doing. Like that dude, I want to say had a 31-win basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 years
ago.
Well,
and like if we look at it, like last year, Indiana State was left off the bubble, and a lot of teams
wanted
them in because they played.
Did they go to the final in the NIT?
Yeah.
I think they did.
Yeah, they did. I'm pretty sure Georgia, because Georgia beat Ohio State.
Georgia did beat Ohio State, and that was a game that went right down to the wire.
A game that Ohio State should have won, too, honestly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They had it won.
Here's the crazy thing, too, because a lot of Buckeye fans have been squeamish about what this team's NCAA tournament picture was looking like. But mm-hmm. once they got the road win against Purdue, and then they doubled down and got a big win against Maryland, started to feel pretty safe. That's when they were moving into opportunities. Once they beat Maryland, they were moving into opportunities where, in my eye, they could have locked the door, like beating a Nebraska on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Even something that, which isn't probably not even as good as beating Michigan at home.
You hang on and beat Illinois on the road.
Oh, for sure,
yeah. You're locked.
One of those three things, I believe. Getting another key road win. It would be their fourth Big Ten road win if they get another one. And I do think they're still going to need another one because they've lost five times to high majors on their home court. They're actually under 500 against the high majors. Can you believe that?
Crazy.
They're 10-5, but they're 4-5 against either Big Ten teams or high majors.
And I'm going to do this because I'm bringing North Carolina back into this. They're a bubble team, but they're a completely different team home and away. Home right now after the win against NC State, they moved to 10-2 at home. And now here we are talking about good. Ohio State.
You have to be.
Being under 500 at home. You got to be able to protect your home court, especially against.
Yeah.
Like if you pick up one of those against Michigan State or Oregon, I think you have to beat Indiana given those circumstances.
I think the two that will drive them nuts is Pitt and Indiana.
I think Oregon's in that too because they had
sure.
a lead.
Yeah. They had a lead.
But yeah, yep. those two for
but
sure.
But at the time, Oregon's top 15 in the country.
Yeah, Oregon's
They had
dropped.
A really good big. Mm-hmm. Good team. They've dropped, though. But at the time, I don't think you were like, my God, like we're terrible
yeah.
because we lost that. But Pitt and Indiana, and again, the whole picture, you're going to take that at the end of the season and say, guys, like we get it. Like it was year one of our program. We cannot lose that many games on our home court. We just can't. We can't plan on taking the steps that we want to take and keep losing that many games on the home court. But the point I wanted to make, though, mm-hmm. before you go on, is that they are currently, not including the Northwestern game, but factoring in losing to Michigan. A lot of people thought they really needed that. That, to me, was just going to be, another opportunity to lock yourself in.
Yeah.
But they're a 9 seed. They're not even in the 10 line right now.
They're off that 10 line.
They got them as a 9, and this is not going to happen this way. But in the East region, facing who?
Oh, my gosh. I think I looked at it today. Is it UConn?
UConn. The hottest coach in the game. Bring it on if that's
so
what has
one,
to happen,
the
right?
one seed you said the East, that'd be Duke, right?
That'd be Duke. Yeah, that'd be Duke.
Where would that be played at?
It'd
be
you know, Raleigh.
Raleigh?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Raleigh, North Carolina. Great spot for some tournament ball.
It is. That's a very great spot. Wow. I would not like that draw just because I know UConn hasn't been playing great as of late. That's been kind of a roller coaster with you beat Creighton, or before that you were down 14 to DePaul. You beat Creighton on the road. You lose to Seton Hall at Seton Hall, and then you're getting drilled by Villanova and have to come all the way back and beat them. I still think as we get deeper into this, they have the shot making that they can beat some good teams if
right.
they get hot.
Right. Yeah, Kansas was the interesting one there. They dropped, you might have said this, maybe it was before we were recording or maybe in the recording, it was a blur now. 12-5 matchup, McNeese State.
Yeah.
Again, like
Will Wade.
If you get Kansas into a 5-12 and they don't show you something,
they
just count them,
last
count
year
them out.
To Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah, just if they don't show any kind of improvement, like any kind of pride whatsoever to put on a Kansas basketball jersey or have any mm-hmm. chemistry or act like they want it, just put them out. If they're in a 5-12 game or a 6-11, seriously, just put them out. Put them out in the first round.
Those are very popular matchups to
Absolutely.
Pick upsets in
Anyways.
When you're filling out your bracket.
Right, so just do it. But Tennessee, A&M, Iowa State, Houston, 2-line, Florida, Duke, Bama, Auburn, the 1-line. Purdue has dropped here. Not playing horrible, but just, you know, teams, it's tough down the stretch here. You're going to lose a game to Wisconsin when you let the Badgers shoot 70%. It's at Michigan, it's Wisconsin, and it's at Michigan State. It's tough, but the hits are coming, and now Purdue's out of the Big Ten title picture. I guess not officially.
They
but
were a 2 seed
still 11
on, the,
and five.
On the bracket reveal,
yeah.
and now I think they'll probably the way
drop
they're trajecting,
maybe
drop to a 4 or 5.
Probably not below 4.
Because
I think they're going to win some games down the
stretch. Michigan State's been playing, I think they'll continue to rise up as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a little bracketology report. The sounds from this week in college basketball, like we had said before, some pretty hot stuff. Literally, from I guess not literally. But figuratively, you get what I mean. From Rick Pitino, who is heating up for his St. John's Red Storm team, you've got Mad About Hoops.
All the college basketball talk you can handle. You're listening to Mad About Hoops, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Timmy Hall, Evil Bald Colony!
Hey,
what's up, my man?
Oh, you know,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. And rhyme time.
There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes here. Sometimes you get phone calls, and you got to take them for work purposes. So,
man, work sucks. This is better. Kansas sucks, and work sucks.
I just like to play around and talk on this show.
That's all we want to do, right? You made it. You made it for the This Week in Sounds of College Basketball segment. So it's a perfect time.
Are we laying
perfect timing?
Are we laying the rest of your Jayhawks?
No, I mean,
I am.
I am
too.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess I am. What am I saying? What do the first two segments sound like?
Yeah.
Of course, they're terrible. I just said in the last segment, if you see them dropping to that 5 or 6 line and they don't show you anything, but the one thing is if they get hot, if they keep losing, but then they get hot by Big 12 tournament time, then maybe that changes a little bit and they become a dangerous team. But if they don't change, throw them out in the first round.
I hate to break it to you, but I don't see them. Come home to play Oklahoma State on Saturday. Then they're at Colorado,
who they
struggled with.
They're winning that too.
They should win, yes.
If they don't, get back to me.
But then after that,
they lose to Colorado. Get back to me.
They get nine Texas
lost
Tech.
UConn lost to them. That's not true.
They did.
This is true. After that, they get Texas Tech at home, at Houston, and then Arizona at home to finish the season.
Let's before we go to Rick Pitino, we got to revisit one of the crankiest coaches in the country, and that's our pal Mick Cronin for UCLA basketball, who the Buckeyes are going to see. Let's check in with what he was saying after they lost to Minnesota. My God, right? Losing to Minnesota at home. And
they were leading.
Mick is just about done with things too, like Bill Self.
You're up 29-12. Do you feel like guys just kind of took it for granted at that point?
You have to ask them that. I feel like we didn't play well. And if I say anything, then I throw players under the bus. So here's what: we didn't play well. We're poorly coached. That's why we don't play well. So poorly coached, we didn't know Dawson Garcia was going to spin back to his left hand. We had two guys on him and let him lay it in. So I guess we didn't go over that. I guess we didn't go over, don't let him just stand there and shoot it. I guess we didn't go over, converge on him like everybody else in our league does.
So there, you get the point.
Yeah.
My God. Is there anyone crankier? Dan Hurley?
I don't think so.
It's different.
It's the different
it's
level.
It's different. It's the sarcastic. Like, I've never heard someone that hates his guys. I almost respect it. He hates them so much. He just despises his team.
And it's tough because, like, yeah, you'd want to go out and play in L.A. and be out there, but you really want to play for a coach with that attitude.
But the last time he did this, they kind of bounced back.
This is true.
He's going to look really good in crimson and cream, though, next year when he's at Indiana.
Oh.
No, I mean, it is kind of funny. People hypothesize that he misses the East Coast, wants to come back. I get it.
That is my God, is that a Big East kind of attitude?
Yeah. 100%.
Right?
Please throw him in with the mix of Hurley, Pitino, those guys. Oh, my goodness. That'd be appointment television anytime they played each other.
They're an interesting team. Like, I never was really in love with them in the preseason. They're a decent team. They're going to obviously be top six, top seven
North
in
Carolina's
the Big Ten.
Only quad one win, so I'm happy with them.
You love that. No, but I don't look at UCLA and I'm like, yeah, like, I'm putting them into the second weekend and I feel good about that. Like, I would not.
It's just, can you imagine Jake Diebler, like, just with who he is and what we've seen and our dealings with him? No, like, that's not him. And no. I don't know, as he evolves, where he is going to, because I will admit, in the right way, I almost liked this with Mick a little bit better than his earlier blow up, where I forget the dynamic, like, to a T, but it seemed a little bit tougher, where he was just flat out, like,
this
calling guys out
like
by
name. He's kind of checked out.
But he technically did that.
He may be on his way to Bloomington, and that's why he sounds that way.
They're a 19-8 basketball team. They're 10-6 in the Big Ten Conference. and that's how he's speaking. I know you lose to Minnesota at home, and that's really frustrating. But that's who you are. That's the way that you've done it. That's the way that you found success. I kind of get it to a point. But Rick Pitino, obviously one of the more accomplished guys. Oh, I hit the button right there. But this was one of the hottest things all week. That got a lot of positive reaction because it led to a win. And inside what game was this again?
Providence.
Prime time?
At Providence.
St. John's at Providence. And Pitino had seen enough with the effort in the first half. And if you ever wanted to be a fly on the wall, right? We always want to know, what was the locker room speech like? Here it was.
Dig in and be a basketball player. Dig in. Every time you miss a shot, your game deflates. We don't care about your missed shots. Play defense. You guys keep blowing opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity. You're like children with bad things happening. Instead of digging in and be tougher, you wilt. Where is your toughness? Where have you guys been raised that you're so weak mentally that you just give up when something doesn't go right for you? Don't you know what adversity is all about? That's the game of life, not the game of basketball. You don't get down when things go wrong. You dig in and get tougher. Your whole life's going to be adversity. Learn how to deal with it.
Patino, Red Storm Rising, Tuesday.
Perfect. Yeah, just perfect. Really? I mean, I don't mind the profanity and that kind of stuff. I'm here for the message. It's basketball. We're in the middle of a game. We got to get going. That's the kind of tough coaching that you actually need that to me is positive.
I'm always kind of interested to see how much of that is authentic, especially when you know you're being recorded like that. Like, how real is he being with it? I believe he actually is who he is, and he doesn't care who's watching. Mm-hmm. Which I totally respect that, but no, I'd be the same way too if I was losing to that Providence team in the first half.
They were down
Kim
13.
English's team is not very good this year. They lost Bryce Hopkins.
Xavier
early went
and beat him. Beat him good.
Beat him pretty good. Mm-hmm. Well, both Providence and Butler, everyone's beating them pretty good this year, unfortunately. But my bad, Thad.
Thad is bad right now.
No,
but he's a legend.
St. John's is a fun team. We've mentioned them plenty in the past couple of weeks with Richmond and Luis Jr. Leading the way. It's a team that can kind of fall into some ruts offensively, but I think matchup wise, if they get a good little run, they can go as far as they want.
Yeah, that message from him had me ready to run through a brick wall.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That would get me ready to go and play for my coach.
I'm ready to dunk on my son in basement basketball after that.
You're going to do it anyway.
And I'm going to yell at him just because he's 75 pounds lighter and a foot shorter. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. What if we get switched on a pick and roll on a ball screen? You gotta defend a guy that's a foot taller than you. You got to get into my hip. Let me know that you're there. Yeah.
Dig deep, chop him down, lock up, play some defense.
Right. Chop me down so your other guard can scrape down on the post.
Yeah.
Steal the ball away. Like, let's go here. The other piece that I got to give you, that this is a totally different situation from where you heard Mick Cronin, who is just losing it on his team, even though they're in a pretty good place in the standings. Rick Pitino, great place in the standings. They're coaching those guys. Those guys are obviously responding. And Micah Shrewsbury, Notre Dame head basketball coach, completely different situation. He went a route that I completely disagree with in all facets about Louisville coming to Notre Dame and apparently having more fans.
Watch more Louisville fans in here than Notre Dame people. And that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing for me because I'm the head coach here. And yes. I got us in this predicament. But don't come back when we're losing or when we're winning, because we're turning this around, man. You better believe that. Everybody that gave up on me, believe it. Write this date down and believe it, because we're going to get this thing rolling. I don't care if you gave up on me or not.
Woo! Hit the microphone. So let me understand this, Micah Shrewsbury. You guys are, 33-55 as a program in the last 3 years?
Yep.
That's where you are. You're getting beat all over the place. Just a bad team. Bad team right now. You're in your second year. I get it. You've got some time. Showed some things at Penn State. Your career in the NBA and at Purdue. You mean to tell me when you get the program up and running, when you're chasing NCAA tournaments, you would rather have 2,000 fans in the building to be witnessing that, because you don't want anyone back when the interest is restored? Got it.
I mean, you can use this
is great.
You can use this as motivation internally if you want to, especially with your team. Like, they don't believe in us. Let's go prove them wrong. Let's turn this around.
Oh, yeah.
I get that. As soon as you make it vocal and public, now there's a target on your back when you don't do it.
You have to perform now. If it's anything worse than this next year, oh, man, that'll be a tough scene in South Bend.
He wouldn't make it through the whole season.
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Oh, my gosh, just the smacking of the microphone at the end just kills me.
I mean,
the Freudian slip, too. Yeah. But when we're back and losing again, when we're winning again.
The long pause
like
leading
Freudian
into
slip
it.
Right there. Like, yes, you're doing a lot of losing right now.
I love the
no
passion.
One cares to see it.
But the problem is you're so bad in an ACC that's already down over the past couple of years. Like, you have so much ground to make up that I think you should just probably be focused on that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's just what a scene. I mean, I think when North Carolina played at NC State, there was more North Carolina fans. I mean, I know it's a difference of program, North Carolina and Louisville, but Louisville's trajectory.
It's also like, what, 10, 15 miles away?
Yeah.
That also helps. But yes, no, I get your point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So in closing here, because coming up in the next segment on our replay on The Fan, you're going to get some reaction to the Ohio State Northwestern game and their picture going into the weekend as they've got the two West Coast games. I think they couldn't be catching UCLA at a better time with Mick saying all those things. And again, like they're went away from being a 20-win basketball team. Maybe the team's tired of that now. They responded once. Maybe this next time after he just throws them all under the bus publicly, they're not. I think it's a good time for the Buckeyes to get him. But Tennessee at Texas A&M, you got that one coming up, kind of kickstarting the weekend on a Saturday. That's huge. See if Wisconsin stays hot. They're a 21-5 basketball team right now.
They are very fun to watch. It's not
really
your traditional Wisconsin watch.
No, they score buckets of points. Houston, Iowa State, major stuff. Kentucky, Alabama, Duke on the road. Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm. Duke and Illinois at MSG. Classic late Duke. Coach K would do this. Get a game against the Johnnies in late February, early March, or a game against the Temple Owls. They would do that. So
you shouldn't
that's
even
fun stuff.
You shouldn't even set a game clock for that Kentucky-Alabama game. Just say who gets the 100 points first. Who wins.
Yeah, and because neither team plays a lick of defense.
No.
And we saw that with Bama against Missouri.
Which actually is funny. Alabama, efficiency-wise, is playing better defense this year than maybe recent years. But it's still not even close to where you need to be to make the deep runs.
How about the Mecca? Is there anywhere you'd rather be than MSG for back-to-back days? You get UConn St. John's on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh.
The day before, you'd get the Duke-Illinois game.
Cooper Flagg
my goodness.
In Illinois.
I mean, I'm a sicko. I'd rather go to Lahaina Civic Center and probably do that back-to-back days. But apparently teams don't want to do that anymore because the Maui Field for next year is awful.
Oh, my gosh. Considering the last couple years that we've had for the Maui Field, my goodness. The next year is a real downgrade.
Texas is the headliner, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, that's as bad as it can get.
Purdue-Indiana, too. Purdue-Indiana, part two.
Yeah.
Boilers got to get back.
This weekend
go on the road,
is like,
Indiana.
On Saturday, you can just sit on your couch all day long, sit back and just watch games from 12 o'clock in the afternoon to midnight.
The Battle of Indiana is a Sunday game, though. That one's on Sunday at 1:30. Yeah. And then we got the Buckeye game as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so podcast, get it up. Get it up there. If you're listening on The Fan on Saturday morning, one more to go. Some breakdown of what the Buckeyes did against Northwestern. Boys, good job. One step closer.
Yeah. March is near.
It is near.
March is near.
You can hear it. You can feel it. You can smell it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-da-ba. You guys have Mad About Hoops.